This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here just ahead of the weekend. And Doug Robertson in studio, president of the Association of ONC Counties, and of course, a former and longtime Douglas County Commissioner. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle. Happy to be here.
Well, I wanted to explore, at least during part of our time, recent circuit court ruling from the District of Columbia back on July 19th relating to the ONC counties. Talk about what the ruling was and some of your thoughts.
Well, Kyle, let me back up a little bit. And a little historical perspective maybe would be helpful for people to follow why we're where we are. In 2008, we adopted, Congress adopted the resource management plan for the ONC lands. And that was when President Bush was in office. Ed Shepard was the state director. And we had worked, the Association of ONC Counties, had worked with the BLM and other parties as a cooperating agency in that plan. And it was a plan that really nobody was particularly happy about, which probably indicates it was a pretty good plan. But it was something we certainly could live with, and it represented a lot of compromises. Well, that was in 2008. In 2009, President Obama got elected, and that was the end of that plan. And that administration, his administration under Secretary of Interior Sally Jewell, started a new process for a resource management plan for the ONC lands. And we again became, the association, became cooperators in that effort and attended the meetings. A cooperating agency is an agency that is allowed in and participating in the development of the resource management plan. Governmental entities, tribes, can qualify as cooperating agencies. Anyway, we participated in that process starting in 2010, 2011, and it appeared that we were going to have very little influence on what was being developed. And our concern at that point in time was we could see a direction relative to the management of these ONC lands that was going to clearly conflict with the mandates of the ONC Act. And we worked very hard with the BLM trying to evaluate certain areas where there could be compromise. But, well, long story short is there wasn't any. And I can remember actually with several of us literally pleading with the BLM to take into consideration some of our some of the changes that we were proposing, because what we were beginning to realize is that the only choice we were going to be left with, the Association of ONC Counties, which represents the 18 counties in Western Oregon, was going to be to litigate this this issue with the BLM. And we didn't want to sue the BLM, but it really left us no choice. So in 2016, the Association of ONC Counties filed suit against the Bureau of Land Management, contending that their resource management plan violated the mandates of the ONC Act. That was in 2016. We filed that lawsuit in Washington, D.C., in the district court in Washington, D.C., because that's where the national office is. That's where a lot of the former litigation had taken place. So the suit was filed. And it wasn't until 2019 that we actually got a decision from Judge Richard Leon from the district court, who found in our favor, agreed with just about everything that we had presented. And also in the form of a remedy, which the judge issues after making a ruling, he directed the BLM to either draw a new plan or amend the existing plan so it was in conformance with the mandates of the ONC Act. That was in 2019. Well, time went on, and the BLM really didn't move at all for a while in that effort, and they occasionally would have a report to the judge. And so finally, in 2021, on the last day that an appeal could be filed on Judge Leon's ruling, the Department of Justice, on behalf of BLM, filed an appeal. And that was in 2021. Finally, in 2022, last November, the appellate court had oral arguments on the appeal. They had a three-judge panel, and we could see just by virtue of the background of the three-judge panel that it was going to be a difficult case. So we made the best arguments we could, obviously supporting Judge Leon's decision. 2 weeks ago, 2023, we got the decision from the appellate court, and Judge Leon's decision was overturned. This was obviously disappointing, but not really a surprise, again, given the makeup of the court and certainly the oral hearing that had taken place. So in the interim, we had planned for this outcome and made the decision that regardless of what it was, we were going to be prepared to go to the Supreme Court and get the issue settled once and for all, hopefully, that the ONC Act means what Congress intended for it to mean, and the last stop on the legal trail was the Supreme Court. So, as I said, in the interim, we have worked with a law firm very experienced in issues before the Supreme Court. And so that basically is where we are now. There's also the possibility, there's a process called en banc, which is actually a request before, in this case, the D.C. Appellate Court to more or less restudy our case with a larger panel of judges. There's a possibility we will do that, but we're not absolutely sure. So I could go on and on with all the details of that, but it sort of gives you an idea of where we were, what happened, and where we are today.
Which is why nothing seems to get settled on this issue either direction, as it kind of swings back and forth through the system, and it's taken this many years, and it's still not totally resolved yet.
No, that's true. And there have been cases, the 1990 case, the Headwaters case, settled in the Ninth Circuit Court, very favorable ruling for the Association of ONC Counties. The Home Builders case, which was, does the Endangered Species Act take precedent over the ONC Act, and so on. And so our legal history has been, up to this point, the appellate court has been favorable.
Is it daunting at all to be thinking about taking this issue to the Supreme Court?
Well, initially, as I said, we didn't want to litigate at all. We historically had a very good working relationship with the Bureau of Land Management. But as it became clearer and clearer that the agency was headed in a direction that was really going to be detrimental not only to the counties but the health of the land and so on, we decided that when we first filed suit, we made the decision we're going to take this all the way. We just didn't have a choice. There wasn't any reason to contemplate stopping, regardless of how the appellate court ruled. We anticipated there would be an appeal to the Supreme Court, either by us or the other side.
Now, if I recall correctly, the Supreme Court, though, kind of makes their own agenda in terms of what they are going to rule on. People present things, they decide if they're going to take a look at this or not. So this could be a very lengthy process.
It could be, and you're absolutely right. The Supreme Court looks very closely and has we get a lot of information on how full their docket is. But in this case, there, as I mentioned, the Ninth Circuit Court, there are several decisions that have come out of the Ninth Circuit Court very favorable to the ONC Act, what it means, what it says, what it mandates. And DC District Court, we have an affirmative decision, and then the appellate court. The point being, if you have a split in two districts, it is quite likely that the Supreme Court will take that case. Now, the split is not timely necessarily in the Ninth Circuit, but it does exist. So we're hopeful. And again, the firm representing us in terms of getting before the Supreme Court is very experienced, has argued several cases successfully, resource cases not unlike ours, before the Supreme Court. So we're hopeful.
All right, more when we come back. Doug Robertson with us, president of the Association of ONC Counties. Interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1 o'clock. Umpqua Valley Live at 4. On Monday's program, a look at Peace at Home Advocacy Center. Melanie Primer, the executive director, plus one of the board members, will be on Inside Douglas County. Doug Robertson, president of the Association of ONC Counties, former county commissioner. How long have you been at the helm as president of the Association of ONC Counties?
Since the first of the year. Kyle, our long-term director, had retired. I had been doing some work for the association, and there was that opportunity, and I had some experience and background, so I was selected.
So what are, along with your organization, what kind of response to this last court ruling are you hearing?
Well, obviously, the timber industry was very involved in litigation as well, very similar to ours. And so we have partnered to some extent with them relative to going forward with the effort for the Supreme Court. There are other, obviously, other agencies that are very interested and concerned. But in terms of the litigation, it is the Association of ONC Counties and the American Forest Resource Council that is directly involved.
Now, have you heard any response from the environmental community?
Well, the environmental community, of course, keeps a very close eye on all of these activities, and they were involved, of course, in the appeal process. So they continue to represent their constituents on these issues, as do we, and that's why ultimately the decision has to be rendered by the courts, and in this case, the highest court in the land.
It's interesting. You think about a lot of organizations sometimes cover a broad range of areas in a particular sector, but you've really got a very specific focus.
Very specific. The ONC lands are a very unique category of lands. The most unique, obviously, in the category of forest lands that the federal government manages, and it has a very deep and rich history, as you know. And one of the things that Commissioner Freeman, who is now president of the Association of ONC Counties, and I have made an effort to do is get around the state, talk to a variety of different groups, including district managers and their employees with the BLM to give them a history of the lands and how our culture, to a large degree, is developed around the activity and management of these lands. And it's interesting because, as you know, things change. People move on and are replaced. And the knowledge of how these lands came into being, why they are in the geographic configuration they are now, this checkerboard and so on, it's amazing how few people within the agencies have that background relative to the history, and that obviously has an impact on how they're managed.
And as administrations also come and go, you have a shift depending oftentimes on which party is in power. For timberland issues in general that you're following, what have you seen over the last couple of years under the Biden administration?
Well, there's been an effort to be much more restrictive relative to all of the extractive industries, whether it be timber, oil, gas, coal, whatever. So that's obviously a challenge. I think it's interesting that the situation with the fires has really caused a shift in a lot of people's belief that you can simply put a chain around these huge blocks of forest land and everything will be just fine. And of course it isn't. The forest is dynamic. We're in a period where the climate is warming. We've had extended drought. And yet, one of the most frustrating parts relative to the ONC land related to this is, and all you have to do is drive up the North Umpqua, and you will see these large blocks of old-growth dead timber that was killed in the 2020 fires next to another block of land that has been salvaged and reforested. And that's been one of the most frustrating things in terms of the current resource management plan. It does not allow the BLM to salvage dead timber after a fire, after insect infestation, disease, or whatever. And so those trees simply are going to burn again or continue to deteriorate. And as they do, of course, they emit carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, styrene, methane, all of the volatile organic compounds that do great damage to the upper atmosphere. So that's a very frustrating part of this current plan that we certainly would like to see changed.
About 2 months ago, I went over to Bend for a short weekend, and while I was kind of focused on that as I was driving along, I would notice those changes. And, you know, it kind of dawned on me, okay, now we see where the boundary is. I mean, it was very obvious.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. It's, you can't miss it.
So as you continue to work, are all the Western Oregon counties involved with the group?
All but two. We have 16 counties involved in the association. Multnomah County is not, and Benton County hasn't been involved really for quite a while, but we have 16 counties that are active in the association.
Now, do they help at some level with funding what you're doing?
Yes, the association was formed in 1925, actually by the then district attorney here in Douglas County, Guy Corden, who previous to that had been the county assessor and had a great interest in understanding the value of these ONC lands, not just to Douglas County, but to all of Western Oregon. So in 1925, this association was formed, one of the longest existing organizations with a relationship to the federal government that exists today on the county level. So our association is funded by dues from the county. The counties. It's a voluntary organization. The counties choose to belong or not to. But it's been very active all through that period of time up until the 1937 ONC Act, and then became very active from that point really to today.
And very few people have actually led the organization, right?
I am the fourth, I think, in terms of permanent directors.
What you're saying is you're going to have this job for the next 20 or 25 years.
Yeah, right.
Doug Robertson, president of the Association of ONC Counties, thanks for coming in.
You bet. Thanks, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.